This is the only fantasy football podcast you'll need to help you crush week 8 in the National Football League, and we work hard to keep it that way. This is the CBSSports.com Fantasy Football Today podcast, brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that you need to make a fantastic website every single time. I'm Dave Richard. He's Jamie Eisenberg. Jamie, how are you?
I'm doing great. I got an email that's pretty funny.
Let's hit it. Let's hear it.
So,
and hit it.
Says, Dear Jerry Kramer and Uncle Leo, long-time listener, first-time emailer. I don't have any fantasy questions to ask you guys because my team is already pretty good thanks to your advice. The reason for my email is because you guys are beginning to label a game which you think will not yield a lot of fantasy points from the players involved as a Costanza. As you can see from my email address, my last name is, in fact, Costanza. And to prove it even more, and he did this, he attached his license. This is for his name is Eric Costanza.
Uh-huh.
As a Costanza, I'm offended about this. However, on behalf of all of us Costanzas, yes, even my Uncle George, we will allow you to continue using our good name this way as long as you, Dave, and me, Jamie, say in unison the following. Eric Costanza from Riverdale, Massachusetts.
Say what?
It. Say it. Repeat after me.
Eric Costanza from where?
Riverdale, Massachusetts.
From Riverdale, Massachusetts.
Is the greatest fantasy football player who ever lived.
Is the greatest fantasy football player who ever lived. I feel like I'm in Temple.
I will be able to use this soundbite forever when trash-talking in my league. Thank you. So the Costanza of the week, according to Adam Azer, I think he's labeled a few games the Costanza.
Well, see, I get confused because there's a Costanza and a Bonanza.
Well,
is it all the same thing?
It's all the same thing. The Bonanza is his version of a great game. The Costanza is usually what ends up happening.
Right. I think that that's a good baseline for what to expect.
Right.
So or I think, what to call it?
I think he's gone back and forth between the New Orleans-Green Bay game, the Arizona-Philadelphia game.
I think it's really those two, right?
I want to say it's those two because the Giants aren't playing. Usually he likes to talk about the Giants ad nauseum. Anyway, we'll talk about NFC home games today, so proceed.
Yes. I'm looking for some news that's happened around the National Football League. Let's start with Jimmy Graham and that he was able to take part in practice. That's got to be a positive. And I think people should feel better about starting him this week, if only because he played a little bit last week, maybe a little bit of rust knocked off. Maybe he's not as worried about getting back on the field. I think that he's I think he's a good play this week. I as long as he keeps practicing, I don't really have a problem with him.
Would you like the good news or the bad news from London?
Bad news first, good news next.
Well, I guess it's depending on which side of the running back situation you're on. The bad news would be Reggie Bush did not practice on Thursday.
Okay.
The good news would be, obviously, Joyke Bell would benefit if that happens. But the better news is Calvin Johnson practiced.
Are we sure? Because yesterday, I don't think anybody really saw him practice, and then the Lions listed him as limited in practice.
I'm sure he's limited. I can't imagine he's full go. But there is a little bit cause for optimism that maybe he could play this week. You know, they have their bye coming up next week.
Do you trust him?
I would think he's more of a decoy. I would say it's going to be very situational, comparing him to, you know, if you're looking at guys who may or may not be of the best quality on your roster, then I would gamble on Calvin.
Yep.
Because I think you could see a situation where it's an easy matchup, and he could probably find the end zone if, in fact, he goes out there. The one thing that's encouraging is they have their bye next week, so he has plenty of time to rest if he goes out there and does try to gut this out.
Right. I don't know how comfortable I would be starting Calvin Johnson, and we've gotten by for a couple games without him. So what's one more game, even though it is a very, very happy, yummy matchup.
All right, let's just get some quick news, and then we'll start. So Zach Mettenberger, new starting quarterback for the Titans for Week 8. I don't think anybody's starting him, but
no,
we'll
but
see how it goes.
What do you think it means for the passing game? I like his arm, but that's really the only part of him that I like.
I think the thing that makes me nervous with young quarterbacks with big arms is they hold the ball too long. And against J.J. Watt, potentially Jadeveon Clowney, that's going to be a little bit nerve-wracking from a Titan standpoint. So I'm still keeping it the same that I view them as Justin Hunter is a very nice home run play.
I agree.
Kendall Wright is a interesting PPR guy still because I think you'll see him stare down his receivers, and that's probably the guy he'll stare down first. And Delanie Walker I would avoid for two reasons. One, he's been struggling a little bit the last 3 weeks because of the up-and-down quarterback play. And two, the Texans don't give up production to tight ends.
He threw for 5,691 yards and 35 touchdowns in 25 games with LSU. First start, I'm not ready to really trust many people in Tennessee, but you're right about Justin Hunter. Kind of like him in FanDuel. I think he could be pretty decent.
He could be great, or he could be, you know, 1 for 40.
I smell a bad game coming for Bishop Sankey.
Sean Green may play too, so that obviously doesn't help his cause. Toby Gerhart looks like he's going to return. That could take a little bit of the luster off Denard Robinson. He's still going to be probably in the neighborhood of 15 carries if he can get there. I'm surprised that you and I are kind of the same boat on Denard Robinson. I think we're in the minority on this. Everybody seems to be going gaga over Denard Robinson.
Let him.
I agree. I think, first off, it was a great game. He played a great game. How many times is Jacksonville going to be playing from the lead late in the game?
Right.
How many times are they going to face an opponent that misses as many tackles?
And had a banged-up D-line.
As the Browns did.
Right.
And the Dolphins are pretty good against the run. You know,
And they're healthy on the defensive line.
Yeah. I just
relatively healthy.
I don't see a situation where he does that again. I wouldn't be surprised if he got 70 or 80 total yards in a great situation.
Yeah.
But even that, I think, is a little bit of a stretch.
Right.
Other than that, it's kind of status quo. We're waiting to find out on A.J. Green. We'll find that out today. We're waiting to find out how Jimmy Graham, you mentioned, if he goes to practice again. Trent Richardson is expected to try and practice on Thursday. That will obviously, most people aren't starting him, but Ahmad Bradshaw.
Right. The door could be open for Bradshaw to have a big workload.
We got a call on the show yesterday on Fantasy Football Today about starting, I think it was Ronnie Hillman and Ahmad Bradshaw.
Mm-hmm.
And I would play it safe and go Hillman. As much as I like Bradshaw as a solo act, I would take the guaranteed carries that Hillman's going to get. It's really surprising. You know what Bradshaw's high for touches are in a game this year?
It's got to be like 15.
19.
19 is the high. But like, what's the average? It's probably closer to like 13.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yes. He's hasn't been getting a ton of work.
Right. He's really been saved by receiving touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, his total yards have been decent, you know. But, yeah, you're right. It's the receiving touchdowns. It'd be nice to see, because we saw last week when Richardson was banged up, he got the rushing touchdown and the receiving touchdown. So that's obviously something you can take a look at. All right, you want to get into the games?
Let's do it. Let's start with the Lions and the Falcons in jolly old England.
Yes.
And we talked about Calvin Johnson, whether or not he would play. If he does play, does that open the door for Matthew Stafford to be a better start than maybe where we have him ranked now?
I think he's a top 12 quarterback this week without Calvin because the matchup is so much in his favor.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think you look at him. It really comes down to, at this point, you know, the second tier guys that you're comparing to Calvin, because I don't think anybody's going to feel comfortable starting Calvin over Russell Wilson.
You mean Stafford?
I'm sorry. That too. Stafford over Russell Wilson, Stafford over Rivers, Stafford over, well, you definitely can't. You got to go with Rivers just to be safe. I'm trying to think of the back.
Tannehill.
That's the one. And I think I'd probably go Stafford over Tannehill if Calvin plays.
But if Calvin's out, then you're fine with Tannehill.
Yeah, I have them 1 point apart in my projections. I'm not sure what you think of it.
You have them ranked because it's the same three at 11, 12, and 13 for us. Right. Just a different order. You've got Tannehill, then Stafford, then Foles. I've got Tannehill, then Foles, and then Stafford.
And I would put Stafford ahead of – I have Stafford ahead of Foles now. I would keep Stafford ahead of Foles if Calvin
Obviously. And you have him ranked as if Calvin's not playing.
Yep.
Golden Tate, for both of us, I believe, is a top five receiver. That would be very good. He's just been on a roll lately. I think he continues to stay on a roll because he is healthy, and he is going up against this terrible Falcons defense. His last four games, 32 catches, 45 targets, 448 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, he's been great.
He's been great. I think he's going to continue to get a lot of targets and try and make plays after the catch.
I honestly didn't expect this for him, but I expected him to be very good going into the year. And so I think you look at it as this is kind of the being in an offense that throws the ball by comparison to an offense that didn't in Seattle when he was there.
Mm-hmm. At least one touchdown to a running back in all but one game this season for the Falcons' run defense. That really opens the door for Joik Bell. Of the 12 touchdowns that the Falcons have allowed on the ground, 9 have come from 4 yards or closer. That's Joik Bell territory.
Oh, he should be great. You know, and if this news of Reggie Bush not being able to play...
Well, they still have Theo Riddick and George Wynn.
Yeah, but...
They'll get a little bit of work.
There's a difference, though. You have to give Reggie his touches. You don't necessarily have to give those other guys the ball. So, yeah, those guys will get work. But Joik is obviously the premier guy in that backfield.
Let's talk about the Falcons and Matt Ryan and how confident you would be in starting him. We saw Drew Brees have a good game last week against the Lions in Detroit. Do you give Matt Ryan a chance this week?
No, it's too hard to trust them against this defensive front, playing outdoors. They didn't even know where they're going. If you did you hear the story? It's on our site. They made a guide for their fans about this trip to London and how the whole thing was going to work. They ended up the map that they gave to their fans has them going to Spain.
What?
Yeah, it's on our site, cbsports.com, on our Eye on Football
Did
blog.
The players end up going to Spain?
No, the players made it where they were supposed to go. But the map of where they were telling fans where they were going, and they sent out a tweet apologizing that they're working on their geography. It's just there was a one of the comments at the bottom of our blog said, is that where they sent their offensive line?
Yeah.
So with this offensive line being what it is, they're down four starters. It's going to be tough, you know, and I think you look at it. If he gets time, and we talked about this at some point yesterday, I forget where it was, whether it was in here or on our video show, about moving him around in the pocket, putting him in some shotgun situations, helping to alleviate some pressure.
You'd think they would do that, but they didn't even do that against Baltimore.
Well, that's the thing. They have no run game to threaten defenses, so teams know that they could play their normal guys in the box, worry about, you know, limiting Julio and Roddy, and just – attacking Matt Ryan, and it's just been very frustrating.
And so, the way that Ryan and the Falcons tried to combat that was with quick passes. He'd get the snap, make a throw.
Yeah, but he doesn't even have time to get a three-step drop.
He really doesn't. No. It's really true. That offensive line is so bad, and even if he does connect on one of those short passes, the defense is there. It's hard for Julio and Roddy White to keep getting schemed up to try and make a play when it's just not happening. So I'm a little nervous about Roddy White this week. Normally he's a staple as a top five receiver for me.
But I think though I think I'm
projected for just 10 fantasy points.
Yeah, but you know what though? I agree. But being worried and projecting for 10 fantasy points, you're still starting him. You know, I don't think a lot of people are gonna get cute and bench him.
Well, what about him versus Golden Tate?
No, I think Tate should be ahead of him, and I think Tate should be ahead of Julio. But it's just a matter of, you know, you find a way to get those two guys in your lineup.
Okay.
That's
I've got him 15th.
I would view it.
Like I would take the chance on Sammy Watkins against the Jets ahead of Julio Jones.
That's fine. I still think Julio's upside is better, but I understand your
I understand. Your sense. Yeah, I mean certainly the upside's better. Roddy White had 100 yards and a touchdown last week. Really nice touchdown catch, but I'm not ready to trust him either. Kind of the same boat as Julio Jones. Use him if you need him, but I don't know if you can expect another, you know, 15 plus point fantasy day. Don't love. I like the Lions DST. Each of the last two DSTs to face the Falcons have finished as top 12 units. Falcons DST, no way you're going to use them. Shall we move on to the next game?
Yep.
The next game is... I'm seeing a bunch of AFC games. I don't know why it's taking me so long to find an NFC game. Jesus, is everybody playing in the AFC this week?
Yeah, there's a lot.
There's a lot, huh? You don't want to talk about like Bills at Jets? All right, fine. Seahawks-Panthers. Last year, these two teams met. Russell Wilson had over 300 yards. It was in Carolina, too.
One of three 300-yard games since last year.
Right. Panthers' defense really has been disappointing this year. And you look at how they've been against the run, it's night and day from last year. It's really terrible. And their secondary is even worse. I think Russell Wilson has a monster game. It could be – I don't want to say it's going to be like last week because he had 100 yards rushing and a touchdown. But I could see him having 250 pass yards and another 50 or 60 rushing yards and a bunch of touchdowns. I really like Russell Wilson.
I don't see that the same way unless they're losing. I see him right around what he's been when they're winning, which is around 200 passing yards, maybe even a little less, around 40, 50 rushing yards, no turnovers because he doesn't turn the ball over.
Mm-hmm. How many touchdowns?
So, two.
All right. That's still 25 fantasy points.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's a little closer to 20. Mm-hmm. I think he's above 20. I just don't see the same game like last week. I think he has a 15 to 20 point drop off from his 40 point performance.
Right, which I think most fantasy owners of his would happily take. We haven't seen great numbers from Marshawn Lynch the last 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, he only had 10 carries. Last week against St. Louis, that Rams defense came to play. Looked like the Rams front that we thought it would be all year long, or at least it was on most plays. There was that Doug Baldwin catch that I think it was Ogletree missed the tackle on, and it set Baldwin free. You're starting Marshawn Lynch. What about Baldwin? Do you trust him against the Panthers secondary? Do you think he's going to get 11 targets in this game, or do you think because the Panthers should be in a position where they can run the ball and lean on Lynch a little bit more, that's what I meant, that Baldwin won't get the type of targets that you think he'll get?
I mean, look, they're still going to throw the ball. He's still going to probably attempt somewhere around 20 passes, you know, in a victory, in a blowout victory, in a comeback effort, he'll attempt 30-plus. So I think you look at it as, you know, of those 20 passes, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 will go toward Baldwin. So, yeah, I think he's a safe number 3, potential number 2. Mm-hmm. So I picked him up in a few leagues. I'm starting him as either a number 2, number 3, or flex receiver in PPR leagues just because I think there's an opportunity for him to have, you know, 70 to 80 yards receiving, chance to score a touchdown. And I think they look at it as this is their go-to guy now.
I don't think there's much of a chance for him to have a game like he had last week.
No, unless they're losing.
Yeah, and I guess there's a little bit of a chance of that happening, although I think Seattle can come in there and kind of dominate with what they want to do offensively against Carolina because that defense is just so rough right now. But I think expectations should be mild, and I think you really said it the best way, which is a third receiver with that potential to sneak into 20 to 24 overall. So, you know, I've got him ranked 23rd. That's technically a number 2 receiver. You've got him ranked in the same neighborhood. I'll ask you this. DeAndre Hopkins or Doug Baldwin?
Hopkins. Much more upside with him.
Okay. Even though there could be a chance that with Tennessee starting the rookie quarterback that maybe Houston just leans on Arian Foster and gives Ryan Fitzpatrick kind of the same type of slate that Russell Wilson might have, which is don't throw that much.
Maybe, but you've seen a situation with the Titans defense that a lot of number 1 receivers or quasi number 1 receivers, because it's hard to say which was the number 1 guy in Houston. Targets would say Andre. Production would say DeAndre. So I look at it as this is an opportunity for the Texans really to do whatever they want offensively.
Are you still stashing Paul Richardson, yes or no?
No.
Okay, you're just going to wait for that.
I never was.
That ship to sail. Cam Newton. Seahawks have allowed multiple passing touchdowns in 5 straight games. Only 1 interception for the Seahawks in their last 5 games. And Cam, you know, I don't think he threw real well last week, but for the most part, he's been great. I'm worried about the offensive line in front of him.
Yep.
The guard play specifically looks like that could be bad. Left tackle's a question mark as we sit here on Thursday morning. I'm wondering if there's going to be I think if that offensive line was healthy, I think Cam would actually have a really good game.
Yeah.
But I think Seattle's going to see that line, and they're going to see Cam and know that he's not 100%. And I think they're going to try and take some chances and really blitz him.
I think you're starting Kelvin Benjamin and you're starting Greg Olsen for what they've been. The two guys that are the most frustrating for me this week are Cam Newton and Jonathan Stewart. Because the Seahawks right now, without Bobby Wagner in that middle of their defense being what it is and how quarterbacks have played against them, it's very discouraging to say that the Seahawks defense is still great, especially on the road.
Sure.
And Cam has had good opportunities at times this year and struggled, like last week being the perfect example. Now, he was on the road. He was in, you know, what's I don't know if it's a terribly tough environment in Green Bay, but it's, you know, could be tough.
It's tough.
And I think that, you know, maybe just that overall Packers defense playing well, playing from behind, all that sort of played into Cam getting out of his comfort zone. Now, I think if it comes down to, like you said, if the offensive line struggles and the Seahawks can get pressure on him, he's going to have a bad game. But we haven't seen that from Seattle. So I just kind of look at Cam as start him if he's been your guy. Because, look, last week, if he gets a second touchdown, he had 16 fantasy points. If he gets a second touchdown, you're okay with it. Puts him in the 22-23 point range. However, that's been missing from his game. So, like I said, I think he's – I don't have him as a starter. I have him as a bust alert and start and sit him. It's just a matter of what your roster is. Like, I wouldn't necessarily – I like Kyle Orton better. I like Alex Smith better. I like Tannehill better. But I don't know if I'd make a move to pick up maybe anything outside of Tannehill.
Right, and you just take your lumps with Cam.
Right.
And that's kind of the way I feel, too. Like, I like Alex Smith, Mike Glennon, Kyle Orton this week, but I would take Cam over them. Mm-hmm. I just think that there's more upside, and I'd rather, you know, if all these guys are in the mix to get 18 or 19 fantasy points, Cam's the one with the most potential to, you know, actually get 60 or 70 rushing yards and have a good day against Seattle, and I think that you might see Cam run around a little bit. I am a little nervous about Kelvin Benjamin because I can't help but think that the Seahawks would get smart and try and use Richard Sherman on him all game long and force Cam Newton to try his other receivers. Now, we haven't really seen that from Seattle.
Nope.
And I don't know if we've really seen it from Seattle when they're not in Seattle. Like, when's the last time Sherman followed somebody around and it wasn't
in
Seattle?
It's specific has been the bowling game.
The bowling game from last year. And then Dez Bryant a couple weeks ago. And again, that was in Seattle. I think it would be a smart game plan. I don't know if they'll end up doing it. If they don't do it, then, yeah, Kelvin Benjamin could do well. So I guess you're kind of towing that line. Is there a DST that you would openly welcome with a big hug to your fantasy lineup this week?
I'd still play the Seahawks. You know, I just think that this is a game where their defensive front should be able to push them around.
Honestly, it's true, and it's because of the offensive line.
Yeah.
Hopefully they get well. Let's talk about another game with probably zero playoff implications. It would be the Vikings and the Buccaneers. Bucks coming off a bye. Their offense has been pretty good since Mike Glennon has been under center. And I think the matchup for them is favorable. But what does that mean for Doug Martin? Martin has been really, really bad. He's needed a touchdown in order for fantasy owners to really come through. And then even when he scored, you know, we haven't – when's the last time we saw a 20-point game from Doug Martin? Just one of those monster games. Even 15 points. I'd love to see one of those. It looks like he's still the guy for Tampa Bay. The Vikings are giving up 4.7 yards per carry on the season to running backs. They've given up at least one touchdown to running backs in five games before last week when they took on a Bills team that started strong and had Fred Jackson and had C.J. Spiller, and then they both left. I would take a chance on Doug Martin this week as a number two running back. I think the matchup is that good. I think the bye week might have cleared everybody's head a little bit, and the Buccaneers come out and try some different things on offense.
I would agree on paper. However, the eyeball test will tell you, ugh. Mm-hmm. And the one overriding concern I have is, does Bobby Rainey get more work? Because, like you said, he's still the guy. But if he's the guy on first and second down and the guy on the first couple of series, and it's 2 yards, 2 yards, punt. You know,
sure,
yards,
then do they give Bobby Rainey right, and it's like, okay, a series and see what he
look,
can do?
Everything that we see on film, everything that we see on paper – says that this Vikings run defense is bad. Well, why are we not being able to run the ball? And then if Rainey comes in and has a good series or two, is Doug Martin on the bench? So, like, I would say if you're looking at it with the pickups this week, and I need to adjust my rankings this way, Bryce Brown, Trey Mason, and Doug Martin, I have Martin third right now. I'm going to move him ahead of those other two guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'd start Martin. If I'm looking at it and I've been sitting on Darren McFadden all season, there's no way I'm benching Darren McFadden for Doug Martin.
You're going with McFadden over Martin.
1,000%.
It's a close call for me between those two. I'll chance it with Martin because I think there's probably a better chance that he gets 15 touches than McFadden.
Couldn't disagree more.
Really?
McFadden has gotten at least 15 touches the two games that Sperano's been the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see that changing against the Browns.
But he's going against the Vikings at home.
And he's going against the Browns that just couldn't stop Denard Robinson.
Listen, I like them both. It's close for me. It's fine if you want to take your chance on McFadden. And I'm not saying McFadden's a bad start this week, but I think Martin has a good opportunity. I think he has a better opportunity to score.
I disagree. Okay. But I would even start Mark Ingram over Doug Martin, too. I think you're looking at another guy with a better chance to score. But yeah, that's fine. Yeah, Doug Martin is who he is, and it's you know, if he doesn't play well here, he's going to get dropped in a lot of leagues.
I agree. That's the one other point, is that I think it's really the make-or-break week for Doug Martin, and it might be a week where if he does play well, you try and trade him and just get whatever you can. I don't think a lot of people out there are going to go gaga for
no.
Doug Martin.
I have Martin in one league. It's our Foxborough League.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure I always get confused with who I have in this team, but I'm almost positive I'm starting Chris Ivory over him, another guy that I like better than him this week.
Vincent Jackson seems like a no-brainer. Just a good matchup.
Should
and he's
be.
Had at least 10 targets in each of the three games Glennon has started. The
targets
Vikings
have actually gone up each of the last 4 weeks.
Yeah. Mike Evans is somebody that I think could actually be a sneaky play this week, too.
So could Lewis Murphy, and that's the problem, is that both those guys tend to eat away at each other.
It does, but I think that they're going to end up playing a lot of three-receiver sets against the Vikings, and the outside cornerbacks are just a mess right now for Minnesota. And Evans, if Evans is matched up against 5'8" cornerback Captain Munnerlyn, Glennon's throwing to him. And he has a touchdown in each of his last two games. So I think Evans can be good for fantasy this week. And if I like all those guys, and Murphy isn't a bad sleeper either, I just don't know if I'm so ready to trust him. I think Glennon's in that mix if you're desperate for a quarterback this week or if you need a safe guy in a two-quarterback
yep.
league. I mean, he's put up good fantasy points in his three starts, so mm-hmm. I think he can keep it going. I don't think he's going to have a monster game, but, you know, right in that 18 to 21-point range, that's really where he's ended up being. Jerick McKinnon, Minnesota Vikings. He's here. He's arrived. He did great last week against Buffalo. That's a good run defense. And he had a lot of nice runs in that game. He had a 29-yard run, 11-yard run. It's been good. Tampa Bay has allowed six running backs to get at least 10 fantasy points in their five games.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's just awesome opportunity for Jerick McKinnon.
Yeah, he should be fantastic. You know, Matt Asiata is definitely not in the way anymore. And
this is what their offense is. You know, they're not trusting Teddy Bridgewater to throw the ball all over the place, nor should they. And it's when you have a defensive-minded head coach, he wants to run the ball, and I think McKinnon's going to be his guy.
Of the six quarterbacks that the Buccaneers have taken on, five have gotten to 20 or more fantasy points. I don't want to trust Teddy. Don't want to trust Teddy. He has one passing touchdown this year.
Yep.
So I don't know if I really want to trust him. And that, you know, leads to his receivers. I don't really want to trust Cordarrelle Patterson, Jarius Wright, Greg Jennings. I think Wright's kind of a sneaky guy just because he's got speed, and that's something that the Bucs secondary hasn't been able to handle.
There's no one you could point to and say is a must-guarantee play of the three receivers.
Patterson really had an opportunity to make a stand last week. Had the touchdown early on and then couldn't do anything with it. Because I think that Vikings passing offense is so bad, I'm intrigued by the Buccaneers' DST, and I know that they're filthy. And it's risky to use them, but I think that they could be just good enough to use. And maybe. DSTs against Minnesota pretty much all year long have been very, very productive. Eagles-Cardinals, Bonanza or Costanza?
Should be Bonanza.
28-21, I believe, was the score, or 27-21 last year when these two teams played. Palmer had three touchdowns. Foles had three touchdowns. LeSean had over... I think he had 115 total yards, no touchdowns for him. And then even Rashard Mendenhall had a good game running the football. I think you want to get a piece of this game, get as many of the players here as you can. And for me, that includes Nick Foles. I know the Cardinals did a nice job against Derek Carr last week, but before then they gave up 20 fantasy points or more to three straight opposing quarterbacks, multiple touchdowns to three of their last four overall. And I know that Foles has not played well on the road. That's been a big problem for him.
He hasn't played well at home either.
He's played better at home than he has. His completion percentage on the road is like barely above 50%. I don't know what the state of his offensive line is going to be this week and whether or not he's going to get, I think it's Kelsey, who's eligible to return. I don't think Mathis is ready to go yet. But if Kelsey somehow plays, that'll only make Foles stronger. If Calais Campbell doesn't play for Arizona, I think that makes their defense weaker. I think it'll make it easier for Foles to just drop back and kind of pick him apart. I think Zach Ertz has to be a big part of their game plan this week, and that would help out Nick Foles. So I don't mind buying in again this week on Foles as a low-end starting fantasy quarterback.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where he should be. Again, it comes down to who you're comparing him to. I would take the upside of Tannehill over him because I think there's too much turnover, too much of a turnover-prone quarterback in Foles. And while he got away with that last year, he's not getting away with it this year. So it's just a matter of Macklin should get his numbers. Ertz should be the second guy. Cooper and Matthews will chip in. If Sproles plays or does not play, one of the two running backs will have to be a factor catching the ball, whether it's Sproles himself or...
It looks like Sproles is going
to
go.
Well, we'll find out. I mean, he's trying to limp through practice.
He hasn't had 10 or more fantasy points since week two.
You cannot. This is actually a good situation for him if he does play because he's on turf. So,
yeah, that's a good point.
I'd feel more comfortable with him indoors than outdoors.
Are you sure it's on turf? For some reason, I think Arizona actually uses natural stuff.
Indoors.
Even though they're indoors.
Indoors. When he's indoors, he plays better.
I'll look it up.
So I think you look at it as – but you can't trust him at this point. I mean, with the
– Exactly, the exactly. Injury.
So McCoy should be great. Ertz is worth starting. And Foles, depending on who you're comparing him to. Like, if you drafted Foles and Wilson, it's a no-brainer. You're starting Russell Wilson.
What about Carson Palmer? Last week – a turnover kind of ruined what would have otherwise been an acceptable day for him.
Top 12 quarterback again.
Yeah. I think he's a top 12 quarterback this week. Do you think he can get that third touchdown against Philadelphia?
Maybe. He's been kind of capped at 250 and two. You know, it's been right about his last two games. So it's a matter of getting the third one. I think you look at it as Michael Floyd has gotten 10 or more fantasy points in every game that Carson Palmer has started.
Mm-hmm.
I think Fitzgerald is going to be hit or miss, but I think he's okay this week as a number two receiver. And I think the secondary in Philadelphia is just miserable.
Right. Like, I almost think that it's a smoke show, what we saw against Eli Manning 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, the Giants were a disaster, more so than Philadelphia playing well. I mean, when you look at it, when you talk about Austin Davis and Chad Henne and Kirk Cousins, those three quarterbacks who are not very good, all had multiple touchdowns against the Eagles defense.
I'm not worried about Andre Ellington and his foot. He didn't seem bad last week against Oakland, and I think he's going to have to catch a lot of passes again this week. He's got a good matchup. If you look at how Philly's done against the run in their last five games, or against running backs, rather, in their last five games, 4.1 yards per carry 12.2 yards per catch. Now, a lot of that had to do with a 55-yard touchdown catch that I think Frank Gore had against him. Mm-hmm. But still, they're allowing this stuff. And I think that you could see Ellington work a lot as a passing downs type of guy in a short area target.
It will, you're not benching him, but the thing would be is if Michael Kendricks hasn't played for the Eagles, and that's a big part
of
how they stop running backs out of the backfield. So that's been a big reason why those numbers have been what they are.
Eagles DST, I think they're going to give up a ton of points. You're going to need a touchdown from them in order to give you some value on your fantasy team. And I feel like the same way about the Cardinals DST. I don't really love them this week. I think they ended up in my top 12 by default. Maybe they pick up a couple of turnovers from
I think they're still worth starting because of the turnovers. He's good for two.
Jamie, it's that time in the podcast where we talk about Squarespace, where you can easily create your own professional website or online portfolio. Jamie, let's say you wanted to build a website. What would it be about?
My love for Dave Richard.
That's creepy. But you could still do that on Squarespace. They've got the new platform, new features, new designs, and even better support. And you're going to need it if you're making a website about me. Support staff that's there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it's easy to start a free trial without a credit card. And listen, it starts at $8 a month. It includes a free domain name. What would your domain name be for my website?
ILoveDR.com.
I wonder if that's been taken. Because it seems there's a lot of people with the initials DR, and there's a lot of doctors out there.
Dominican Republic.
Yeah, there's probably, yeah. Like, I imagine the Dominican Republic probably already owns that site. Give me another one. In case that one's taken.
ILoveDaveR.com.
Okay, that's probably better. And my wife thinks you're weird. If you sign up for a year, you get that domain name for free. Every design automatically includes a unique mobile experience that matches the overall style of your website. So the content will look good on a tablet, on a cell phone, on a computer. And it's weird if it's going to look good if it's me. I'm kind of freaked out by all this. Again, start a free trial with no credit card required. Build the website today. Use the offer code FUN, F-U-N, to get 10% off. And when you do build a website and you heard about it from Fantasy Football Today, you're showing your support for our podcast. And we would thank you. I think Jamie would probably build a website for you if you ended up doing that.
Sure.
So that's Squarespace, everything you need to create an exceptional website. Now let's move on to the next game in Week 8 in the National Football League as we continue to trek through NFC home games. And there aren't a lot.
Two more.
Let's start with the Packers and the Saints. Mm-hmm. High-scoring game. Do you start everybody?
Yeah, I would hope that you can get by with all the main Packers, and I think Davante Adams is a very nice sleeper this week. And then for the Saints, it's a great opportunity for Drew Brees to get right. I want to find a way to put him higher in my rankings, but that would mean putting him over Russell Wilson.
Right. I have the same problem. I got him sixth.
And Tony Romo, and I think those other two guys have a higher ceiling this
week. You like Romo better than Brees?
I do.
Against Washington. It's a great matchup.
Yep. So, and I may make that switch and put him ahead of both those guys, but It should be a fun game. He's been at least 290-2 in every home game Brees has, and he's only played two, but he's been 290-2.
Was there anything that you saw that encouraged you?
Yeah, that first half was amazing.
It was really good, right?
Yeah. I mean, it came off their bye week. He's done what he's done. He's prepared. He looks like he's ready to go. And he picked apart a very good defense. And then the second half, he struggled. You know, they were trying to sit on the lead, and he had a couple turnovers, and that's unfortunately been the problem for Brees. So I think this is an opportunity. If Sam Shields is out, which he wasn't able to practice on Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
Tremont Williams is, you know, a little gimpy,
right?
But he's playing. So Brees can, and especially if Graham is ready to go.
To me, that's a huge factor. That's a huge factor. If Graham plays, if he's in there and if he's ready to go, I mean, look at what he did without Jimmy Graham last week. You're telling me that
and Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
He did it without two of his main guys the early part of the season.
Right.
But if they get Kenny Stills going, that's very important.
They need to get something downfield.
Yeah.
It might not be Stills. I don't know if I'm ready to trust Kenny Stills.
No, but I'm not talking about but Stills.
As long as he tries those deep passes and keeps working them in, whether it's Cooks, Stills, Bobby Meacham, Travaris Cadet's been used that way a couple of times this season. Yeah, I think Brees is going to be great. Three out of the last four quarterbacks to play Green Bay, at least 240 yards, two touchdowns. There's been some turnovers in there too. I think Brees is a good, solid floor at like 22 fantasy points with the potential at home in this matchup, and it's on national television, potentially 30 points. So I don't think there's any question that he should be a part of your lineups this week. What about the running backs for New Orleans? I know you really like Mark Ingram.
It's not that I really like him. I think he scores. I think you look at it as when they get inside the five, get in the red zone, they like to run the ball. That's been their MO this year. And so Ingram, when healthy and when getting touches, look, he's been great to start the season. Broke the hand. Last week was, you know, knocking the rust off against a very good defense.
How many carries did he have last week?
10, I believe.
Okay. I mean, that seems to be what he gets every week.
And now it's, again, I think it's addition by subtraction. You take Pierre Thomas out of the mix and his two or three catches, two or three carries, you know, that goes somewhere else. Where are you going to go? Well, maybe it goes to Kyrie Robinson. Maybe it goes to Ingram. Maybe it goes to Kadett. Maybe it's one of the two. See, I the way I look at it as Ingram's their running down guy. Kadett's their passing down guy.
It might end up being Robinson that way because everybody's – I don't know if Robinson's even going to play. He was hurt for him. Didn't practice
That's
yesterday.
Right, didn't practice yesterday. So
right,
that
so
could
there,
be a better
that would really help out Mark Ingram. And I kind of like Kadett in PPR leagues as a top 24 type of running back.
Oh, I almost like him as a top 24 in standard.
I'm worried about just how much work he'll end up getting because it might just be all catches. It might be seven catches, but I don't know if I want to start somebody with only seven
totally
touches
understand.
In the game.
But think about what Sproles was in that offense.
Sure. And then you look at what Green Bay has done this year against running backs, 4.1 yards per carry, 9.4 yards per catch, including 12 yards per catch in each of their last two games. They've only allowed one touchdown to a running back in their last four games. That's against the Bears. That's against the Vikings. The touchdown went to the Dolphins, and then last week, Carolina. Those guys really don't do anything ever. And even though they didn't allow a touchdown to Matt Forte back in week four, Forte still had 170 total yards, 16 fantasy points in a standard scoring league. I just don't think Ingram can get all of that, but maybe a shot at 10 fantasy points. I think he'll need to score.
It's totally dependent on touchdown.
But I also think it's dependent on whether Kyrie Robinson plays or not.
I wouldn't worry
if
about
it. If he's out, then I think you'll see a bump in playing
Well, without
time
a doubt. It definitely helps.
And we know Pierre Thomas is going to play.
I think you look at it again. We're talking touchdown-dependent guys, Doug Martin or Mark Ingram. I'd rather take a piece of that offense and that bonanza than Ingram and then Martin.
What do you think about the receivers? Is Colston back?
Oh, you got to look at it as a must-start guy this week, especially with Shields' injury.
You want to talk about how bad the Packers have been against running backs? They've actually been worse against wide receivers.
Terrible.
In their last four games, six touchdowns to wide receivers. Just in their last four games alone, the Bears had two, Dolphins had two, the Panthers had two last week. One went to Brenton Burson, and that was in garbage time. But still, Kelvin Benjamin, three catches, 61 yards and a touchdown. I think Colson is still a pretty good start this week, just
especially
on volume, and he's at home. Mm-hmm. And if Breeze is going to have this big game, Colson's been his most reliable receiver. I'm not ready to go back to the Brandon Cooks well, though.
No,
I don't think I can do that.
It's a rookie receiver. That's what happens. They look great. They look terrible. I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, he looks so good in the preseason. Same thing with Cordarrelle Patterson.
I wouldn't be surprised if he had a good game. But just to give you an example, I have him in a PPR league where he burned me last week.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, it's 2-2 and two flexes. He's not even in that top six.
I'm going to lay out a scenario because we're doing this on Thursday morning. Jimmy Graham limited in practice all week. Friday comes, limited. Saints list him as questionable. Inactives come out Sunday morning or Sunday night, rather. And we don't have a word about whether or not he'll play, but it ends up being that he's active and that he'll play. If it's Sunday morning and we don't have that word, I'm going to take that back. We're going to get word if he's been limited in practice all week. Jason Lockenfour on Fantasy Football Today will probably
Be limited in practice.
He'll probably play. How confident are you in Jimmy Graham at this point?
I'm going to tell you the leagues where I have him. One, that one I just referenced, I'm starting Dwayne Allen over him this week. No hesitation. The other two, I'm starting him. Don't even care. I dropped the other backup tight ends I have. I'll take my chances because I think the guys that I would have to pick up are and I know Allen's in this boat, but they're touchdown dependent to get you more than 4 or 5 points.
Right.
And B, I think Graham, because I think what happened last week, and I know you disagreed with me on Sunday night, I don't know if you feel the same now, is the Saints were winning that game early on. So they had no reason to trot him out there.
Okay, then what happened when they weren't winning?
In the flow of the game.
So what happened on their last drive?
They were in the flow of the game, and they didn't have an opportunity to get him going. So he had two targets. It wasn't like they didn't look at him. They just didn't look at him enough. And obviously...
Would you say he was kind of a decoy? I mean, he didn't play the whole game.
But Detroit knew when he was on the field...
Yeah, but Green Bay can do the same thing.
They can, but I think he will be more snaps, more targets. He's got another week that he's healthier. And clearly, if he was able to go last week, like you said on the show the yesterday or the day before, not an ankle, not a knee,
It's a shoulder.
Shoulder. So as long as he could withstand the pain of a hit, which you haven't seen him take, he's not going to block.
No, but he'll get pressed at the line, and who knows if that
Yeah, but that's not the same as taking a hit when his back is to a safety.
No, I understand.
And somebody pops him from the back.
Right.
So I think, again, he's a week healthier, a week more in tune with where his body is, where the pain level is, and probably seeing a lot more practice time.
If you look at how the Packers have done against tight ends this year, you'd be impressed. They haven't allowed a single touchdown to a tight end yet this season. However, if you look at how Greg Olsen did last week, Martellus Bennett, those appear to be the only two tight ends that they've faced that are worth a darn. Martellus Bennett, 9 catches, 134 yards, no touchdown. Boo-hoo, I would take that in fantasy.
Of course.
Last week, Greg Olsen, 8 catches, 105 yards, no touchdown. It really comes down to those targets for Jimmy Graham and whether or not he gets them. And he's going to need like 10. And if he gets like 10.
I don't know if he needs 10.
Then he's going to need to score. And that just puts him in the exact same boat, like you were saying about Dwayne Allen.
Yep, that's kind of where I feel. It's like I don't think he's going to get 10 targets unless he's as close to 100% as Jimmy Graham is. I do think, though, he'll be used in the red zone more. It's the highest over-under of the week, if that matters to you, which I think is
sure,
lots of points. And I don't think they can get to that total if you're a gambling person without Jimmy Graham playing at his level.
Before he got hurt, he had 10 or more targets in 3 or 4 games. The only game
he
didn't was the Minnesota game where he had 8 targets. And then he got hurt in the game against Tampa Bay.
Yep.
I'm a little optimistic. I think he could end up getting those 10 targets. I think he just needs to play more
than
30 snaps. He only played 30 snaps in the Week 7 loss to Detroit. Jamie, let's wrap it up with the Redskins at the Cowboys. I think that the Dallas offense is going to have a field day. Not only are the Redskins banged up in the secondary, but now they've lost Brian Arakpo for the season. So a pass rush that was already just kind of, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great.
It was bad.
Now it's really bad with
it's
only
awful.
Ryan Kerrigan there. And it feels like Tony Romo's going to have his way. Could the game get so far out of hand that Romo hands off to Joseph Randle in the fourth quarter and that they finally start to rest DeMarco Murray and then Murray doesn't have an amazing game with 25 carries and 125 yards and a touchdown? Maybe it's just 17 carries, 80 yards and a touchdown, which, I mean, everybody's starting DeMarco Murray.
Yeah,
but
of course.
Could it mean that, you know, basically one quarter you almost wipe out with Dallas because they've got a 20-0 lead or something like
Every
that.
Every time we think that's going to happen, it never materializes. We've thought about this with LeGarrette Blount a couple of times this year. We thought about it with Jeremy Hill sometimes this year. There's been situations where we looked at it and said, backup running back should have X opportunity, Carlos Hyde.
So you're saying the Redskins can keep it close?
No, I'm not. But I'm not saying that we should go into it as, you know, and look, you're now down 2 Bills running backs. You have the Giants guys and the 49ers guys on bye.
I'm just taking your temperature on Joseph Randle.
I don't think anybody needs to be starting him unless you are 100% desperate. But, yes, that in theory, that should happen. Dallas should build a lead. Dallas should be sitting on the clock.
Does that scare me as a Tony Romo owner?
No, because how are they going to get the lead? You know, it's not like you're going to see a lot of
Marco Murray.
Yeah, but you're not going to see a lot of pick sixes. You're not going to see, look, Murray's had some great numbers the last month, and Romo's been excellent. So I think you're going to see it's a primetime game. It's a division game. You know, the Redskins, I understand they're starting Colt McCoy. They've been competitive the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You know, so.
They could be sneaky competitive in this game.
Yeah,
too.
I wouldn't be. Look, I like the Cowboys defense. I know you do as well.
Yeah.
It's Colt McCoy. There's still DeSean Jackson and the potential of a home run threat. There's still Pierre Garçon who scored in 2 straight games. Alfred Morris is not hurt. He's just not playing well, but he's still going to have opportunity to score. And you never know. I mean, division games are so hit or miss.
Nick,
you know,
Foles.
You can have Atlanta versus Tampa Bay, or you can have, you know, mm-hmm. Giants-Eagles.
Nick Foles had 32 fantasy points. Eli Manning had 40 fantasy points. Russell Wilson had 38 fantasy points. Carson Palmer had 22 fantasy points, all against the Washington Redskins in 4 of their last 5 games. The only one that didn't do it, Charlie Whitehurst, who still had 2 touchdowns, 17 fantasy points, and now he's been benched for a 6th-round pick following that game. All right, so I think Dez is a start. I think Terrence Williams is a start. Jason Witten is probably a sit at this point because he's just not involved, and he probably will be used to block a little bit more now that they've got the issues at right tackle. Flip the switch over to the Washington side of the football. With Colt McCoy under center, I'm nervous at Alfred Morris. There's 2 reasons why I'm nervous about Alfred Morris. Number one, I don't think the Cowboys are going to be scared of Colt McCoy's arm, even with DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon and
sure.
Jordan Reed on the
Their
field.
Their cornerbacks have played very well.
They're going to respect that passing game, but I don't think that they're going to play the safeties back all the time. They're going to have a lot of single high safety looks. And I think that'll end up hurting Alf, who, you know.
He may get benched this game.
3 weeks ago and 2 weeks ago, against tough defenses, tough run defenses, he only had 13 carries. Understandable. Last week, not a tough matchup for him, only 16 carries. And maybe that had to do with the fact that the Redskins, you know, didn't blow out Tennessee like we thought maybe they would. Alf just didn't get that opportunity. I'm worried that he is going to struggle and stink against Dallas, and I don't want to start him if I don't have to.
He may get benched. I mean, the way Jay Gruden is talking about how he's not, you know, in tune with the offensive line and he's missing cuts, that doesn't sound like a guy, because remember, he's not invested in Alfred Morris. Mm-hmm. Mike Shanahan was invested in Alfred Morris.
And the investment initially was low anyway.
Well, but, Shanahan could point to and say, we've developed this guy. You know, mm-hmm. he another running back find that they had, and he was great for him. But Gruden comes into a situation where he likes, I think, more along the lines of the airback type than the big physical.
Think about Gruden how type. Much he loved Giovanni Bernard.
Right.
Sure.
So if he gets off to a bad start, and if they're trailing, you may see more of Roy Helu than you were hoping to see.
Does that make Helu a sneaky play this week?
I think in PPR leagues, he's an okay sleeper. But standard leagues, you know, look, if they're inside the five, they still may give Morris the opportunity to score.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, and he's not getting a lot of work, Helu. You know, so it's not like they've been going away for Alfred Morris. But you have to think about what Morris is. He's only scored touchdowns in two games this year. He's got three on the year. He doesn't catch the ball. He's got five catches on the season, which is, I think, a season best for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's just not running well. And the offensive line's not blocking well. And the Cowboys, you know, the flip side of this is the Cowboys have actually been playing very well in their run defense.
They have.
You could point to it and say, yes, Marshawn Lynch only got 10 carries in that game. But you know what? Maybe part of that was because they weren't happy with how Marshawn Lynch was working. And then last week they did a good job in their run defense as well against Andre Williams, you know. And, you know, we've seen it. We've seen that they dominate time possession. We see the teams get away from running against them. So I would agree. Alfred Morris is an easy guy to bench, and I think you look at it. Doug Martin is better than him, yes.
Yeah.
I would start both Bryce Brown and Trey Mason over him this week. I think there's just more upside.
Denard Robinson?
With those two. Denard Robinson, I have them back-to-back in my rankings. I have Alfred Morris one spot ahead because I do think that Denard Robinson's a little bit of a myth, but I can understand if somebody wanted to go that route.
There's only been four games this year where running backs have had at least 20 carries. This is as a team, not just one guy. 20 carries against the Cowboys. Worked out well for the 49ers in week one, worked out well for the Rams, and again, cumulatively, not necessarily one guy. Worked out well for the Rams in week three, worked out very well for Arian Foster and the Texans in week five. They almost won that game, and last week the Giants just couldn't get anything going on the
but
ground.
But the two guys that have scored against them, they've given up three touchdowns, I believe, right?
They've given only two. They've given up three rushing touchdowns to running backs.
Right.
Two. But only two players have done it, because Foster had two and Carlos Hyde had the other.
Carlos Hyde had the other. And didn't – oh, never mind. Okay.
Anything you want to
say
right there?
I would be nervous about DeSean Jackson because
– I would too.
Colt McCoy is not going to throw the ball down the field with a lot of success.
He does not have a strong arm.
And the Cowboys secondary has actually played pretty well.
Is Garcon the better receiver?
I think so.
I don't have it ranked that way, but I could be talked into it.
I think, you know, you're going to start to see him stare down guys, and this is a short area type of guy. I think Jordan Reed has a big game too.
Big game because you look at how bad the Cowboys have been against tight ends, and certainly last week that was the case. They allowed eight catches, 117 yards, and a touchdown to the Giants tight ends. It was just the wrong tight end. We thought Larry Donnell would be the one. He ended up fumbling twice in
that
game.
He played great, though. Take the fumbles out of the equation.
He played great, but hopefully he gets another opportunity to prove himself and to hold on to that football. Jamie, that's all that we've got for Thursday's podcast. We will be back Friday for another exciting podcast breaking down a lot of AFC home games. There's going to be a lot of really good information in there. Don't forget, you can always watch our stuff on CBSSports.com, including our live show that starts at noon Eastern, fantasynews.cbssports.com. You can call in, get your questions answered. You can tweet in. You can be a part of the show. That's what we're here for, is to help you guys and to answer your questions. And we'll do more of that on Friday, Jamie.
Sounds good.
For Jamie, I'm Dave. Thanks for coming out.
Bye.